So I wasn't sure how I was going to unfold this. I know where I need to go, but I don't have all the details. So it might be a little bit bumpy. I'm in Luke chapter 1, just so you know, starting at verse 67. Now, if you don't know Luke chapter 1, we spent a little bit of time last month in there, and I shared about Zechariah and the angel showing up and his doubt and saying, hey, buddy, your prayer's been answered. And I said, hey, you know what? It's probably not a prayer he was praying that day because of the doubt that comes out afterwards when he says, well, how do I know that this is going to be true, right? She's old, I'm old, and he goes speechless. Many things happen in between. The same angel shows up to Mary, and his name is Gabriel. And when he shows up to Mary, guess what? Mary has the same kind of questions, right? He says the same thing to her as he said to Zacharias. This is about to happen. You're about to have a son. His reaction was, how do I know this is going to happen? Her reaction is, how do I know this is going to happen? I'm a virgin, right? Oh, the power of the Lord is going to overshadow you, and you know, that's why he's going to be called the Son of God. But their internal disposition towards the Lord is different. While Zacharias, in his disappointment, stopped believing in the God of the impossible, Mary, in her naivety, because she was just a little girl, actually still believed in the God of the impossible. And so she yields and said, let it be unto me. I am a bondservant of the Lord. Knowing full well that an unmarried pregnant woman would mean stoning and it would lead to her death. Zacharias' son is born, John. They're about to circumcise him and give him a name. And this is where he is declared John is his name, and Zacharias' mouth is open for the first time in a very long time. Okay? Are you ready? So that's where we're starting. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, now listen to this prophecy, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. Do you not find that unusual? Are you catching it? Let me read that again. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and accomplished, past tense, redemption for his people. I'm sorry. Say what? Jesus has not yet died on the cross. We still got 33 years. He hasn't even been born yet. He is still hidden in his mama's womb. What the heck are you talking about? Past tense. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited already done us and accomplished already done redemption for his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Now, if you don't know anything about prophetic language, a horn, you can think of a bull, okay, that has a horn, all right? And that horn talks about his authority. A bull comes raging at you, you're going to move out of the way because you know those things are going to buck you, right? Ask the matadors who just swing red flags at them and you'll see, right? They are going to come. He has raised up a horn. So it talks about power and authority. He has raised up power and authority for salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. What did they say? Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. That is two classifications. Salvation from our enemies does not mean your next door neighbor that is irritating you. Salvation from our enemies does not mean the government who might want to do something to take away your rights. Salvation from our enemies is the enemy of our spirit, souls, and body. The one who comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. And what does he say? that salvation is going to be coming? I don't think so. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished, past tense, redemption for his people from what? Oh, salvation from our enemies. And then also those who hate us. And that is on a natural plane. Salvation in the spirit, salvation in the natural. In the natural, you're dealing with the emotion of hate. In the spirit, you are dealing with something that wants to wipe you out. To show what? Why does he save us? To show mercy towards our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, a promise he made a long time ago, all the way back in Genesis, before each and any one of us and those who have yet to come had even taken a breath. A promise was made. And that promise was that salvation would come. And the enemy, his head would be crushed. And that head in the crushing would bruise a heel. And it's not your and my heel that got bruised, but it was his, the one who through whom salvation came. And so, Why did he do this? Why did he promise this? Why has he already accomplished it even before he's even shown up at the cross to do this, to show mercy? What does mercy mean? Loving kindness. What else? Compassion. What else? Forgiveness. Okay, those are attributes, absolutely, of mercy. Okay, mercy. You're not going to get what you deserve. Praise God. To show mercy towards humanity and to remember, that's him, remembering his covenant with us, people. The oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being rescued, not we to be rescued, we being rescued, already done, and is happening at the same time. We who are being rescued from the hand of our enemies, which is the spiritual side of things, might serve him without, what does that say? Without fear. How many of you came to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ through fire, hell, and brimstone? How many of you came to a saving grace through the door of fear? You entered the house with fear, in fear, through fear, birth in fear, and now it continues to manifest in your relationship with Christ because now there's a list of two do's and don'ts that dictate whether or not you're acceptable. Welcome to the world's way. But the redemption he accomplished before he even got to the cross, through the mouth of Zechariah, as the Holy Spirit prophesies through him, is telling you truths from of old that are the same yesterday, today, and into tomorrow. And this is what you got to catch. He wants you to serve him without fear. He wants a relationship with you that has no fear involved. That's his goal. Now, you good little Bible students should also know, as soon as the word fear comes out, you should be recalling, where have I heard that before? Oh, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but one of love and power and soundness of mind, right? So you know that serving him without fear, fear is a presence, and that presence divides us and isolates us and tells us we're no good, we're unacceptable, this, that, and the other thing. And if that is coming into your relationship with the Lord, and I suggest it is, you know how I know? because I'm living in the same world you are. It hinders me from praying when I should be praying. It hinders me from moving when I should be moving. And it hinders me from giving when I should be giving graciously to my neighbor. And by giving, I'm not talking about tithes and offerings. Okay, please hear me. I'm talking giving of myself, opening up, not hiding behind masks, not pretending, not keeping it all together so it looks nice and tidy. Being real and authentic in the moment, present in the moment, to engage, interact, and remove fear, draw someone else out of it. But you cannot draw anyone out of what you have not yet endured or walked through. Because as soon as fear is in the room, you're going to pick up fear. So be aware. On the fear meter, where are you? Can you handle the changes that are happening? Can you hope for the courage that is yours? Can you believe for the healing already done? To grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in what? In holiness and righteousness. What does it say? Before him. And what's that small little word that comes after him? All what? All our days. All is a powerful word. Small, tiny little three-letter word. All is very powerful. What encompasses all in this room? Everything? So not just this section of the room is all. Not just that little room there is all. But all? Everything? Nothing outside of this? And tomorrow, when you're not in here, is it still all? And yesterday, when you weren't here, is it still all? And what is it that's offered to us instead of fear in the all of our days? Holiness and righteousness. Okay, stop and think about that. Jesus wants you to come to him without fear because from before you were born, before you took a breath, before your days were started and initiated, all of the stuff that's happened that you regret, that you feel shame over, all of that kaka, right? All of that. In the all of your days, holiness and righteousness in your past, in your present, and in your future. I suggest we don't live by this truth. And yet there it is in black and white if we slow down to look at it. All. How many of you, if you're brave enough, let your past, pain, hurt, hiccups, mistakes, dictate how you're going to function in your present? And therefore, you don't show up in your future, in the future you, that you hope and want to be. Because fear has got you lock, stock, and barrel trapped in the past. Believing a lie that something is so overly powerful, more powerful than the one who declared he has redeemed you before he got to the cross. All. So while I pondered that all, an image came to me very quickly. Like, use your imagination with me. A very large cloth. And on one end, it was still whole. All the fibers of that cloth were still whole. Somewhere along the way, something penetrated that cloth. And a tear happened in the cloth that was big. And it looked like it was going to the end of what its existence was, that piece of cloth. But then I saw a needle with thick thread that pierced the top of the cloth with repentance. and the needle coming back another way. And it then had a word of forgiveness. And then hope and faith and redemption and belief in sonship. And as this thing continued to pierce this cloth, all of a sudden, the string was pulled. And as the string was pulled, the cloth became whole and you could not see the tear as though it was never there. It's called a blind stitch. The fabric is made whole again. A blind stitch. And this word all implies that blind stitch has taken place already. Why am I here? Because I believe we've forgotten. Sometimes I forget, especially when you're feeling sick and life is hard and you get the muck and the mire on you and you're disappointed and your imagination goes wild and it believes things that aren't even true. But I suggest to you that he is calling us to something beyond the borders of what we know right now. And he is calling us into a faith that will believe for the impossible. From a place that deeply knows there's no more tear in the fabric. I believe, Jesus, that you died for my sake, and that your sacrifice is enough, that you are the Son of God. I believe this is my confession, and therefore I repent. I repent for everything that I've done, Lord Jesus, and I receive your forgiveness. And as I receive your forgiveness, I understand that I am cleansed anew. And as I am cleansed anew, I am no longer that person back there that I want nothing to do with, but I am a new creation, and standing in that new creation that brings me into sonship. And in sonship as a daughter, even though I'm a little girl, I can stand up here in a church who says only men can speak. Now, it wasn't our church that said that. Scott was so affirming to me. Oh my gosh. But in the world of religion, my voice means nothing. And I can do this not because of anything that I have done, but because everything that you have done, and you give me the strength in my weakness to walk into these places. And one day I will see you with my own eyes, and I will walk in seeing the dead raised, and the blind seeing sight, and the ears being open, and the lame walking. I will see it in my time, in my day, through me, because of you, because there's no more tear in who I am. And neither is there a tear in you. So it's time to shake it off, shake it off. And instead of running away in fear from every opportunity, because you don't know what Jesus has in there, and he is going to reveal to you who you truly are, take a step of faith and shake it off for real. Because he's got stuff he wants to do and he wants to share it with you. And if you know that you know that you know you are his, there is nothing in hell that will stop you from bringing forth, declaring, revealing the love of God that has done all. All. Do you believe it? The only thing that will stop you, fear, doubt, comfort, security, passion, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. And he has given you the light, the way, the understanding, should you choose it. But you need to live in the living word and live by the living spirit, the Holy Spirit, asking him to reveal to you the truths that are in there, because Jesus is on every single page. So if you've got burdens, come let's lay them down. If you've got doubts, come and lay them down. If you're believing lies, come and hear the truth. But he doesn't go around saying, you I want, you I don't want, you I want, you I don't want. You know, like the teams, okay? You, yep, love your ability. You, no, I don't think you can run a base. You, yes, you know. Now, in saying that, some of you who know your Bible really well are going to say, but what about the wheat and the tares and the goats and the sheep and all that stuff? Okay, that is an end time thing, and he gets to judge that. But I'm saying right now in the hour of grace, while the hour of grace is still functioning, he is calling all. And that invitation is to all without discrimination. All. Tiny little three-letter words.